This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome back to Talk Shonen Podcast. My name is Turtle.
It's weird how many times we add the podcast and then also don't, but I'm Jared.
You know what? Whatever. Sometimes you gotta feel like a podcast. Sometimes you don't.
Sometimes I'm enjoy.
And this week we're gonna be talking about Japanese animation and is it in dying?
Trouble? Well, I was going with trouble. Oh, you trouble. Are dying.
Well,
damn.
I mean, the most literal of senses.
It's dying.
It's dying.
Dying's trouble.
Okay. Let's just jump into it. Why do we think... You think it is? Do you think it is?
Yes, I do think that it is.
Okay.
What do you think?
I also think it is. I don't think anime as a whole is going to go anywhere.
No, I definitely don't.
And I don't think I think that it's basically just going to get carried on by other studios in other countries.
Or there's going to be a Japanese renaissance.
Oh, yeah. Or very possibly. But the work culture in Japanese animation studios, actual Japanese animation studios, is insane.
I think that's probably one of the main contributing factors to why these companies are going outside of Japan for the animation of the shows.
Oh, yeah.
Even though the shows are based off of Japanese IPs, they're like, a lot of people are dying now when they're trying to draw this stuff.
They're just like... I mean, you're talking like insane work weeks.
Yeah.
To the point where like exhaustion and or suicide for a lot of these animators, it's absolutely insane.
Well, you're looking at a lot of these animators are having medical issues that are normally not common until you're in like your 60s.
Yeah.
In your 30s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because of that level of exhaustion. Like their bodies are literally breaking down. It's because they're working every day, like every single day, 7 days a week sometimes, for hours on end,
12,
nonstop.
14, 16 hour days just doing this. And then you have studios like Netflix that are producing their own stuff, making their own things.
And they're
killing it.
Killing.
They're sucking up the market
with that they're doing.
They cornered the market anyway with their own streaming service.
Yeah.
So they can push it as much as they want.
Netflix, I think, enjoys destroying long-standing
companies. Netflix came onto the scene by utterly decapitating Blockbuster.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very unceremonious in their dealing with Blockbuster. But I mean, as Kyle has told me many times, Blockbuster kind of did themselves in.
Yeah. Blockbuster didn't have
a Blockbuster.
So Blockbuster was run poorly and actually had the opportunity to buy Netflix, I think, early on.
Yeah.
And was
that's
like,
what I've heard.
Yeah. It was like, nah, we don't need this up and comer piece of shit company who now corners the market and is only just starting to lose ground to things like Disney Plus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody has jumped on the bandwagon.
Well, yeah.
But the bandwagon
streaming
is
streaming is the future.
It's the way to go.
It is how
no
it's
one
going.
Wants to leave their fucking house anymore.
No, and it replaced cable because it's on demand. You get to choose.
Yeah.
And there's less commercials, things like that no one's liked for forever. But
yeah, exactly. I mean, even though at this point, if you want to watch streaming and want to watch anything, it's going to cost you just as much as fucking cable.
Oh, I know. You have so many now. It used to be that you could have Netflix and that covered pretty much everything and you were paying $10 a month for it. Now, like, I share accounts with three other people.
Oh, and you can't say that, man. Netflix is cracking down.
Well, you're allowed to share with certain household members.
So in your household. Oh, yeah. In your household, you can do it as much as you
want. I should clarify. In my household, we share accounts with...
Gotcha.
With three other people. So, like, I have the Netflix and the Disney Plus.
Yeah.
My brother has the Hulu.
Oh, okay.
And the Dropout.
So you guys are doing it smart.
Yeah. We, like, each... we just cover one each, but like,
yeah,
for as a group, mm-hmm. Oh, and my mom has HBO Max. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, yeah.
As a group, we have like all of them.
Yeah.
But we're all, we're only paying for like one or two.
I'm each. Done. I'm paying for all of them.
Oh, that's, it's like, it is like,
it's cable basically.
70
it's,
bucks a month or something like that, right?
I think I did the math when you have all of them, mm-hmm. like, cause I have Netflix, I have Hulu, oh, Prime. I have Funimation, I have Prime, which you have to kind of like break that up because that's over 12 months. Yeah. I don't pay for Prime monthly. Yeah. I pay for it yearly. But Prime, HBO Max, I got the Paramount Plus.
I got the Paramount Plus.
I got a few add-ons there.
I got Dropout TV.
I got Dropout also. So I think it adds up to around like 90 something dollars. And
then, Hannah has Discovery Plus.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like.
Either you guys have Shudder?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I'm really. Yeah. We're not horror people.
Yeah, Shudder's not
Matt's
really
in,
high.
Matt's in the studio who's just saying that if either of us have Shudder,
yeah.
which he really likes, but it's all horror, and Jaren and I don't really give a
yeah,
shit
not
about
really
horror movies.
Not really our wheelhouse. But yeah, no, I mean, all of these, and I feel like a lot of these streaming services are dipping their toes into producing these things and putting the money up.
And some of them are killing it. I mean, they're really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, Netflix has been in it for a while now.
I think
anime.
Netflix probably has the most solid...
Well,
animations. So I think Netflix is cornering the market more than probably anybody else right now in production standpoint.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they're choosing really strong studios to partner up with.
And they're picking a lot of really powerful IP. I mean, you're talking like nostalgia, old school stuff, new stuff.
Yeah.
They're taking your games, Arcana, anything they can, anything that has the power to move numbers in their favor, and they're building something off of it.
Yeah.
And they've done some original stuff, and the original stuff is good, but I mean they're really killing it with the nostalgia IPs and things like that.
Yeah, and I think they're also thinking outside of the box and really looking at scripts and ideas that they know are going to placate to a big audience, and something that Japan's not doing, because Japan is, when it comes to anime, they have their box, and it is
they're
is
very
it isn't an originally produced in Japan manga. If it's a manga, we will then adapt because we know that there's a market for it.
Yeah.
Netflix is starting to go, okay, this video game has a really big
like
following.
That's Arcana or whatever.
Arcane. And Arcane is by Fortiche, I think it is, and that's a French company.
Yeah.
And they're a French producer.
That's
and
right,
they
you're right, yeah.
knocked it out of the they fucking park with Arcane.
I haven't even seen it. I've just heard people raving about it.
And another one is Dota 2.
Yeah.
Which is basically, Dota and League of Legends kind of go hand in hand with like the same genre of game. And I just watched, they have two seasons so far of Dota 2. I think it's called Dragon's Blood.
Yeah.
And that was also amazingly done. Mm-hmm. And I think it was by Powerhouse, which are the people that do Castlevania.
Yeah.
And the Witcher, the Witcher animated movie that they did. Mm-hmm. There's so many.
There's a ton of them. Yeah,
I mean, Castlevania alone made me go, okay, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe America and Korea and China and France together are gonna dethrone, especially for Shonen.
Yeah,
and I think that's where
Shonen
Japan
is in
trouble.
Well, so here's the problem too: is like you just nailed it. They work in a small box. If it's a manga, they adapt it.
Yeah.
The problem is the manga market's suffering. There's not a ton of new and really, really unique or really successful ones coming out.
Yeah.
Like, not saying there's not. There's still a thriving manga market.
Yeah.
But compared to 10, 20 years ago, it's...
I think they're going through what America went through.
Yeah.
Where America went through that lull in comic book production.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Where, I mean, right now, comic books, hot-selling commodity.
Because, but that's driven
Golden
a lot
Age,
by the movies.
Hot-selling commodity. Yeah. But there was that Bronze Age of comics.
There was a dip. There's actually two dips, because we hit that, not Silver Age, the 90s. What's the 90s one called?
I mean, that's the isn't that like kind of considered like the Renaissance era of comic
whatever
books?
The Renaissance era of the 90s was, where they got a big popular swing, and then
I don't know why I said Renaissance.
Renaissance.
It sounds fancier.
Yeah, right. And then comics took a shit until basically Iron Man and some of the movies sparked life back into them.
I think the MCU or something like kind of single-handedly brought it back.
Yeah.
Because it was hanging on. Because you had like Blade helping.
Yeah.
You had like the Batman movies, you know, coming out. Those were helping. Yeah. You had some dark horses and stuff like that where you had like Spawn and things like that. You know, they at least they kept people interested in like comic
the
ideas.
The diehards were still in it.
Yeah.
The market wasn't really growing. It was stagnating.
Yeah, and it was actually, I think it was declining.
Oh, it probably was. Yeah. And the manga's doing almost the same thing right now. And it's also, once again, because the Japanese animation studios are really inflexible on how they do things and how they make new properties and how they even just do the work. They're losing some of their best animators. They're driving their teams into this, like, literal health crisis.
Yeah.
And
honestly, because of the fact that America is now becoming such a huge consumer of anime and of manga, Americans, a lot of the times, they don't stand for companies. I mean, especially now, in the 90s, 2000s, not really. But like now, they don't really stand for a company that doesn't treat its employees well. So they will just say things like boycott this entire company because they're treating their employees like crap.
Yeah, and it's just, it's killing off these companies, and some of them for good reason.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just look at My Hero Academia. I mean, it's a great series, great shonen. I mean, it's probably one of the strongest that's out there right now when it comes to shonen.
For sure.
And it's on the tail end, and honestly, it would be done by now. They would have finished it if it hadn't been for the fact that, I mean, because just look at the work schedule for a manga. Yeah. It is... You're releasing. It's what, like 7 or 8 pages a week.
Yeah,
of just fully inked out, and then you have to get so many. You have to get so many issues out there. You have to get like 50, 60 issues out there just to make up half of an arc of an anime.
Yeah.
It's there because of the fact that they're because you don't have like a Studio Ghibli anymore that's coming out with original crap that's not based off of a manga.
Yeah,
so they're pigeonholing themselves.
Well, yeah, exactly. They're bottlenecked to this release time frame for a much slower media.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just stagnating. It's killing it.
Yeah,
and this is the era of immediate satisfaction.
I want it now.
Yeah, people go on. They go, I want to watch. The entire season of My Hero or One Punch Man or whatever.
Yeah.
And if they can't, they watch one. They're like, that's really good. And then forget about it. They move on. They watch 3 other full series of shows.
Oh, yeah. I can't even tell you how many times I've started an anime and then just been like, they only got up to episode 7. I'm going to watch this one that has 2 seasons out. And I start watching that one instead.
It happens all the time. It happens to me with any time I'm watching something. I'm the hardest time... remembering story arcs, remembering where I was in a video, and if I don't feel like rewatching it, if it's not quite good enough for that rewatch, you'll never get me to rewatch.
Especially
watch
since the beginning
episode.
Beginning of a lot of animes are slow builds because they know. I think it's because with manga adapted anime, they know that they have a bunch of really great storylines.
Yes.
And a lot of the people that are watching it have already read it, so they know that there's a bunch of great storylines coming. So they're willing to sit through the whole, my name is Ryu, and I am da-da-da-da-da.
And even
blah,
worse,
blah, blah.
Though, is filler.
Yeah.
Filler. You've got, you wait a week, 2 weeks in some cases, 3 weeks or longer if it's, you know, in between the breaks.
Oh, yeah, you have those nice like, little mid-season breaks.
Mid-season, like, month-long break to piss you off. And you wait that long, and then it's like, it's the beach episode. And he's like, you can kiss my ass.
And the beach episode is followed by the tournament arc, which wasn't actually in the freaking manga. Yeah,
and isn't canon for some reason. Yeah. Like shit like that, where it's like Bleach, for instance. Mm-hmm. Bleach had whole filler seasons.
Yeah.
Like the Bonto season, the vampire season.
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, my favorite Bleach filler season.
It's a dope filler season.
It has no long-lasting
implications or anything. There's no substance to it.
Yeah. It means nothing to the show. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't progress the storyline at all.
Naruto, the king of fillers.
Oh, my God.
Same
so
freaking
many.
Way.
I have a list somewhere that is like...
what you have to watch compared to what's out there.
1, 3, 7, 18, 21, 22.
Yeah.
But then like it's like, okay, of these 400 episodes, watch 60.
Yeah. And like, then you have the whole thing.
And you have the whole story that's pertinent.
These new studios are just saying, why do that? Why not just release, you know, 24 full episodes that have a you know, a contiguous story that is built off of
it. One shot. They do, you know, 6 months of heavy production where they do, this is the season. We do this season. They put it out in one shot. It fucking blows up. People stream all 24 episodes in a night and a half.
They're really playing off of virality at this point. They're like, things it just goes, blow up and go viral overnight.
It goes
overnight.
Into meme culture. You know, people make memes on it for everything that's worth memeing.
Yeah.
You get that, which spreads it even more. And next thing you know, you have a hit fucking show that's killing the numbers. And then in another year, people are anticipating the next season.
Yep.
And they wait for it because it's a season. It's a whole event for this season to come out.
And you weren't sitting there reading what's about to happen beforehand. Yep. You don't have that. So it's this constant buildup of anticipation where you have now, you have entire YouTube channels that sprout up overnight about theories, about what's going to happen in season two.
Don't get me wrong. I'm all about, and I'm like, along that same line, I love the theory, like My Hero. You see Deku uses a new power. He talks to one of the other All For Ones. And you get this, like, I like the week of downtime with speculation and YouTubes. And you're kind of like, hey, is this happening? Is this happening? What are you going to do? I miss that to some degree. But that was such a small part of the enjoyment for me.
Yeah.
And that's, once again, like, if I'm watching a whole season of something, I'm probably watching a whole season of something with someone.
Yeah.
So, like, the in-between episodes.
Not for me, but, you, that works.
Yeah, yeah. The dinner breaks are when we're like, oh, so what the fuck do you think is going on with this? Do you think the doctor's the one that took his power?
Yeah.
You know, shit like that. Yeah, that's speculation. A lot of fun, then. Yeah.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And you do that more with these big, long, single season releases rather than these dang things.
Because it's really, because sometimes it can be difficult to be like, hey, remember, the new episode drops Wednesday, because even things on like Disney Plus, it kind of come like, you know, every Wednesday a new episode of like Book of Boba comes out. And, you know, sometimes, like, I remember, but if I was watching it with somebody else, I'd be like, hey, it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Show came out. And they'd be like, I don't care as much as you. Yeah. So watch it and then rewatch it again later, I guess.
See, I just don't even do that. I just don't. If like Book of Boba, I'm not even seeing it yet. I'll watch it when it's all done.
When it's done.
When it's done. I'll just watch the whole thing in like a Saturday. I did the same thing with everything else that releases. I just wait, like, whatever. People talk about it. I know spoilers, but I don't care. I have a bad memory. I don't care about spoilers. I get involved in stories anyway, so, like...
Yeah, you kind of lose yourself.
Yeah, if I see, like, a spoiler, I can know something's fucking coming, and I'm still like, please no, please no. You know?
You're like, maybe if I wish hard enough, it'll change it.
It could have been a lie. Like, you just... So, like, I don't care about that, like, week-to-week stuff as much as other people.
Yeah.
But it is... Shonen, especially Shonen, a week to week with a big invested, you know, show, Book of Boba, whatever, you got 45 minute hour long episodes. Some of these like an hour and a half.
Yeah. You know, if you have like a movie. Really, if you have like a really big like finale, you can have an hour and a half.
These longer form episodes, that works because you get enough in.
There's a payoff.
Shonen and Japanese animation studios.
23 minutes
on the dot. 23 minutes.
23 minutes.
23 minutes is a cock tease.
Yeah.
Do you know how many times I finished an episode of My Hero Academia and I'm like, it just fucking started.
Yeah. It's like especially since we were watching on streaming.
Yeah.
We're watching it on streaming where there is no commercial break. Mm-hmm. So it fades to black for a brief second, comes back up. There's like a, like, this is what this person does and this is their power. This is what this person does. This is their power.
Exactly.
So it literally is 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there going, okay, so minutes. I waited a week.
And they're full of exposition. So you get like 5-10 minutes of real good progression and another 10 minutes of being like, oh, but if he does, like, they walk you through it. Like,
well, because there's talking episodes. Yeah, you have your talking episodes, and then you have your something's happening episodes. Yes. And when the something happening episodes come along, it's great.
Oh, yeah.
If you have a fight that goes
even
five
the
episodes,
talking episodes
awesome.
Are great, but that the fact that you spend 20 minutes and you get that talk, and then you don't get the payoff for another week or more, it kills it.
Yeah, and I think that's the reason why, because a lot of people have made this claim that, you know, Japanese animation studios are in trouble, or, you know, yada, yada, yada. And really what they're saying is Japanese studios that make shonen are in trouble.
Yes.
Because that is the most popular in America. That's the most popular probably in most countries around the world.
Most of the world.
Because it's action. It's what people want to see. They want to see something fast-paced and action.
Yeah.
You know what Japan's not struggling in and what's not being encroached on? You know, like the non-action oriented isekais.
Yeah.
Your harems.
Yeah.
Your straight fan service ones.
They're an entire different category like fans, though. There's a lot of overlap.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, like you said, there's huge numbers that are into shonen that would never watch a harem or an isekai or.
Yeah, I'm not super into, like, there's very few isekais that I like, very few harems that I like.
There's been a couple harems I've liked in the past.
I was about to say Tenshi Muyo.
Tenshi Muyo is probably my favorite harem period. But Tenshi Muyo also had a ton of really cool action and sci-fi and magic-y kind of.
And it just kept evolving.
Yeah, it constantly changed. It also helped that you didn't know what the fuck was going on because there were 6 different versions of Tenshi.
Oh, yeah. And you're like, which one am I watching right now?
Is this Tenshi in Tokyo, Tenshi in Love, Tenshi Universe, GXP. Which one am I on right now? And you're like, or just Tenshi.
Just Tenshi.
You don't know. Yeah. You don't know until you start really watching. You're like, is this one where Ryoko's bad or good?
Yeah.
Why doesn't he ever fuck Ryoko and leave Princess Ayaka? Fuck that bitch. Like, you don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there are some other good ones, but they have to... harem animes have to be...
Good?
Good. They have to be good. They have to have a story. I love the harem concept anime. Like, I think they're hilarious, and it's always some Tenshi dope.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, oh no, all these hot women want me. What am I going to do?
It's every anime watcher's dream to just be like, I'm the cool guy now.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But if there's not a fun story to go with it, it's boring.
Yeah.
It's just fluff. I don't care about it. The harem part isn't the fun part.
It's a bunch of people flirting and then a bunch of guys just going, I don't know what to do over and over again. What was the one that I liked that started?
And I had the same problem of it. It ended like season one, and season one was short, and then I don't know if it got into season two or if I'm waiting like 3 years for season two.
It's a long gap in between
How to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon or something like that.
Yes, it got two seasons and we're waiting on 3.
Yes.
That was another one that I actually
very
liked.
Very enjoyable.
That's a harem and
it's all about the Greek gods and shit.
Yeah, it was
the weird Japanese versions of the Greek gods, but
the Japanese love talking about things that aren't Japanese.
Oh yeah, because
they love anything that's related to white people.
Yeah,
they really really like
white
people culture.
Yeah, well, is Greek white people
white adjacent?
Okay, yeah, okay. You're being a little racist, Jared, but that's okay. I'm gonna let it go.
Reverse racism.
Yeah. So anyway, they are suffering in the shonen field, but you're right. There's harems and isekai and a bunch of other ones that are still going strong because there's a huge culture for them that is just...
Nobody's making Slice of Life.
No, not anymore.
Who's just really like, hey, let's animate kids going to school.
Yeah.
Well, what's going to happen? They're going to go to school.
Maybe suck at a math test.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it'd be like, you people really want to watch that? And apparently, fucking yes, tons of people want to watch that.
See, I don't know.
I don't get Slice of Life.
I don't either.
I have not found a single Slice of Life that I enjoy.
The closest to Slice of Life I like is Assassination Classroom. Because it's kids in school, but it's school with an alien that they're trying to kill.
It's still a shonen. There's action. There's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot of stuff that's going on in that one.
Yeah.
That's just an amazing show all around.
It's just super weird. I love it.
Yeah.
It is a very weird show.
Corona Sensei is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So what we've discovered or talked about, I don't think we've discovered it, but
I feel like a lot of people have found this. I mean, and this discussion goes all the way back to like Avatar.
Oh yeah,
like when Avatar came in, it'd be like, wow, there's a studio that's not in Japan that's making something that's Asian inspired, but it comes completely original, and they're doing it like the animation
a fucking phenomenon that hit the world. Avatar is one of the most loved cartoons. Period. Bar none.
Yeah. In Japan also. Japan fucking loves Avatar.
The Avatar culture and fans is absolutely rabid for it.
Yeah.
To the point where they almost murdered them for a terrible movie.
And also like almost screwing it up with Netflix too.
Yeah.
Because they kept seeing things and fans were like, I don't like that.
You know, one small correction. If they just said his name right. There's an entire show where they say his name right.
I know. Like, I hate way more about that movie. I know that main gripe.
I liked the movie visually just because it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But it is by no means an Avatar
good.
Movie.
It's not good at all. And I mean, it's funny because like it happened again
mm-hmm.
when Ruby came out.
Oh yeah.
Cause Ruby's another thing that Ruby was made by not an animation studio.
Well,
it's made by Rooster Teeth, which is not an animation studio.
Well, they have an animation studio now.
They do.
Yeah, that's true. When they first made Ruby, they were still doing. They started Machinimas.
Yeah, because they had Red versus Blue.
They were the first Machinima place. They did it. They had Red versus Blue and stuff out before YouTube existed.
But that was more comedy.
We used to watch Red versus Blue after school. We'd go home and download it through slow ass dial up modem bullshit and get the newest episode that looked like garbage and watch that and then laugh at Caboose and shit like that for whatever. And that was before any of the real major streams came out.
Yeah. But that was still like comedy sketches for the most part. There wasn't I mean, I know that at some points of Red versus Blue, there was a continuous story.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really part of it. But
the thing is, Rooster Teeth then moved into animation studio stuff. And Ruby, I think, was the pioneer for that.
Yeah.
And
they have just gotten better year after year. Yeah. I mean, the level of animation that they're at now is leaps and bounds.
It's insane. Past. I mean, they did stuff like with Michael B. Jordan for
Genlock.
Genlock and things like that. Like amazing, amazing animations.
Mm-hmm.
Big name David Tennant, big names doing their voiceovers on top of their regular Rooster Teeth in-house people.
Yeah, and the great part about, I think, things like Ruby, things like Avatar, things like the Castlevania series, I think probably one of the coolest parts to it is the fact that it's anime inspired.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these things are definitely inspired visually and in action oriented wise. Mm-hmm. They're very heavily and like influenced by shonen.
Yeah.
But they have their own art style.
Yes.
And their own art style has a more mass appeal to people like, I'm gonna just call it out, Kyle.
Yeah.
You know, someone who his main gripe with a lot of anime is he doesn't like how it looks animation style, looking at it as lazy because it uses less frames.
Yeah.
Because it's less frames, less money.
Yeah.
They save the frames for the action. They cut out the frames during everything else.
Yeah.
It's all just a budget.
Balancing out
with budget. But with these studios, they aren't dropping frame rates down at all. They are keeping it up there and they're doing smooth, crisp action with a lot of movement. It's still very electric, kind of like how most anime is, where it's a very alive feel during action sequences, but it's not done in the old anime feel, so it feels new.
Well, I mean, and a lot of these studios now, I mean, you got to realize these are directed, animated, run, inspired, written, and whatever by people that grew up with anime and shonen and things as their inspiration, so they grew up with it. They loved it. They became creatives and did it themselves.
The voice actors that they're getting now are insane.
Yeah, oh my God, so good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is definitely, I think, if not a death toll for traditional Japanese animation
studios. It's a wake-up call.
Yeah, it's
got to be a wake-up call.
Either a wake-up call or a death toll. Yeah, there's no... Maybe if, there'll be the recession on it and then...
Yeah.
They'll get the the change or the market will change.
Or as
enough.
I said before, renaissance.
Renaissance.
There'll be a renaissance.
Renaissance.
Yeah.
And then they'll pick back up. But they really have to
step it up because
if it stays like this, the stagnation of it will lead to death.
Yeah, because America's coming for them, France is coming for them, Canada's coming, China. Because China, I think, took the number one.
Uh-huh.
But South Korea has put out some I don't know if you've seen God of High School.
Mm-mm.
God of High School is a really cool tournament arc. It's done by a Korean studio. It is incredible.
Isn't Psyche K South Korean or that one's on Netflix? I can't remember.
I think it might be.
I think
I'm not 100% sure.
I'm not sure off the top of my head, but Psyche K is another one that's really good.
That is another really, really good one. Mm-hmm. But I mean, even like an anime that I liked that I thought was done in Japan, Radiant.
Okay.
That was done in France. It wasn't actually done in Japan. So it's like even things that at this point look like Japanese animation are being shown that they can be done
other places.
Other places.
Well, That's the end of Japanese animation. I'm glad we just spent a however long talking about how it's dying.
It was fun. It was fun, everybody. But yeah. Say goodbye to Japanese shonen.
There it is. Wave it away. Bye now. Bye.
We'll keep the name, but it's definitely going to not be shonen anymore.
No, definitely not. Oh, man.
Yeah. But, so I think that's probably a good place to end it.
I think so. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, hey, thank you for listening. What do you think? Do you think Japanese animation's on the way out? Do you think people are going to, rally, or that the studios are going to throw off the shackles of their old tradition and crazy work culture and try to adjust?
Stop having indentured servants as employees?
Hopefully. Yeah. What do you think is going to happen? Let us know. Hit us up at RunRunnersPodcastNetwork.com, where you can follow all our shows
and listen to all of them right on the website.
Yep.
If you have a podcast and you'd like to join the network, you can join RRPN. There's a contact form right there. Mm-hmm. So you can do that. You can find us anywhere though that you get your podcasts.
Yep.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram and also Twitter.
Yep.
At Talk Shonen. And follow our partners, Times Live Radio Studios, mm-hmm. on Facebook at Times Live Radio Studios, for the new shows that we are producing out of there.
Yes. All right, thank you for listening.
All right, I almost said yours mine. Oh, you my God. Mine. Wow. Embrace your fandom, everybody.
Embrace your fandom. Let your nerd flag fly.
Peace.